Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being here. We're going to read through Revelations 12 through 22 today. Our goal is reading through the epistles. We start in July. We should finish right at the end of the year, and we will have read all of the New Testament here on Sunday morning, which means I can't stop and do a lot of teaching on this, but make a few comments. But as we look at this, just a review from last week, Revelation chapter 1, that's where John begins the vision. He's on the Isle of Patmos. He's been probably about 96 AD, has moved off the coast right off of from Ephesus in the Aegean Sea. And the first, second, third chapters are seven epistles or seven letters that Jesus dictates to the churches, seven churches of Asia, and we've read through those. And so chapter 2 and 3 are, in a sense, seven little epistles. And then the vision begins in chapter 4, where John is brought up into heaven and is going to be shown things that take place. And the first thing that we see in chapter 5 is the Lamb. There's a scroll with seven seals on it. And again, as we study eschatology, and we're trying to read this without bringing a bunch of Daniel in. Not that that's wrong, but now you're studying eschatology. You're trying to read this for just what it says. In fact, it begins by saying, "Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this and read it publicly." But the scroll seems to have, it's got seven seals on it, but as they open the seals, things are allowed to take place, like the horses come and an event takes place. And the main one, we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And the main one is, to me, as I look in chapter 6, the seven seals are described there as they're open and the events that take place, is chapter 6, verse 12. When he opened the sixth seal, I look and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth, and the full moon became like blood. And the stars of the sky fell to the earth, and the fig tree shed its winter fruit that is shaken by a gale. The sky vanished like the scroll that is being rolled up, and every mountain and island was removed from its place. Then the kings of the earth and the great ones and the generals and the rich and the powerful and everyone, slave and free, hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains, and calling to the mountains, saying, "Fall on us, hide us from the face of him who is seated on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb." And that matches different places in the scriptures other ways, where the Lord appears to be visible, where heaven has now opened up and the kings, the people of the earth, can look up and see him, and they're terrified because they can see the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not coming back, he's just visible. But so there's a later today, when we get into these verses, he's going to mount a horse and ride back. But at this point, they can just see him, and they're terrified of him. And in fact, they want to die. And so that's what takes place there. And at that point, chapter 7, two things occur in chapter 7 after the sixth seal. 144,000 of Israel are sealed on the earth. And then in verse 9 of chapter 7, a great multitude has been taken out of the tribulation and meet the Lord in the air there as he's looking down or is visible. They're up there with him. And again, it seems like the Jews, the unbelieving Jews, see the Lord, but they were not part of the church, and they're sealed to enter into the next phase of history. But the believers appear to be taken off the earth and meet the Lord in the air. We'd say possibly the rapture. Again, who knows where all this takes place? I mean, there's so many other things to look at, but it's interesting how that plays part there. And then you've got the seventh seal, and what takes place there, it releases the seven trumpets that are going to be followed by the seven bowls, and they're described as the wrath of God. They're described as the wrath from heaven, meaning the heavenly beings call them wrath. The people on the earth call them wrath. And this is where the wrath is poured out. And what takes place here, for the first time, I know when we do end time charts, there's a lot of dates and times and arrows, and I've got more than I need to have that I've created myself. But so far, there's been no time given. But all of a sudden, now it starts talking about 3.5 years, 1,260 days, 42 months, which is half of a seven-year period. And so that begins here, especially in verse or chapter 11, where it talks about two witnesses that are go off and preach, teach, confront the world and their ministry. It would seem that these two witnesses appear at this point, and they're possibly part, you know, of the 144,000 Jews that were sealed. They seem to be one of members of that group there, but they're special, and they've got special powers or supernatural powers to bring plagues and confront the world, and that's taking place in chapter 11. And then in chapter 12 of where we're beginning today, we're going to read through the rest of this, and you're going to hear several things here, obviously, but you're going to hear that time period again, 42 months, 3.5 years is going to come up again. Eventually, it's going to give way to a 1,000-year period. And that's going to, you know, we call that, you know, the millennium or the kingdom age. And it's not like the end of the world, because at the end of that 1,000 years, Satan is going to be released and come back and cause havoc again at the end of the 1,000 years. Now, again, as people read this, they think possibly we're in that 1,000-year period now. You know, like when if you're preterist or you're a futurist in your interpretation, there's different ways of placing this. I've got my own opinions, and I'll try not to give too much, you know, like leading thought into this. But there are some times given. One of the things going to come up, we're going to meet a bunch of characters in these verses. You're going to meet, Satan. You're going to meet the beast. You're going to meet the image of the beast. You're going to meet the prostitute. You're going to meet the Babylon the Great. And where these all fit in. One of the phrases that pops up is a lot to deals with sexual immorality. And it probably has an overtone of sexual behavior, but it could possibly, when you read that, sexual immorality throughout the Old Testament is a reference or an image of spiritual idolatry, meaning when you turn away from God, and when Israel turned away, they probably were committing sexual immorality, but their turning away to idols was seen by God as you know, sexual immorality. So when you read sexual immorality, you can think about immorality like sexual, but you can also, is that referring to they've gone after demons or false philosophies? And as, kind of read that as you go through that. There's other things that will pop up here that we can look at. But we're going to get into now. We've gone through the seven trumpets, and now we introduce our first one, chapter 12, verse 1. And a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet and on her head, a crown of 12 stars. She was pregnant and was crying out in birth pains and agony and giving birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns. And notice 7 heads, 10 horns. It's going to come up repeatedly. On his heads were 7 diadems. His tail swept down 1/3 of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth. Now, when it talks about a third of the angels rebelled with Satan, and that's in angelology, the study of, you know, angels, that's kind of a given, 1/3 of the angels rebelled. This is the verse. That's it. I mean, it's like it doesn't say in Genesis, and then 1/3 of the angels went with Satan. It doesn't say, you know, somewhere. It says right here, his tail swept down 1/3 of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. That's it. When? Was this before the Garden of Eden? Was this after the fall of man? Is this going to take place in the future? It's just right there. So, I mean, there's so much wrapped around that as you're unpeeling that. Where's that taking place? But theologians throughout the ages, 1/3 of the angels have sided with Satan. But anyway, there it is. I'm not going to teach that. I just want to point that out. She gave birth to a male child, one who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron, but her child was caught up to God and to his throne, and the woman fled into the wilderness where she has a place prepared for her by God in which she is to be nourished for 1,260 days, which is 3.5 years, 42 months. But that goes way back to the Garden of Eden, all the way up to the crucifixion and resurrection and ascension, all the way into the future where you've got the 42 months that we're talking about here. It's just this, you know, like this big universal global picture of history in that image. And again, you know, how's that all taking place? Nonetheless, verse 7, now war arose in heaven. Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. Now again, is this historical? Did this take place way back in the Garden of Eden before time began? Did it take place when Moses left Egypt? Or is this taking place at when the Lord appears in the atmosphere and Satan lost his place and they cast Satan to the earth? And I think that's going to be an important part of this whole issue is what's going to take place in the rest of the book. Is Satan no longer is, in a sense, the prince of the power of the air because it's been taken over with the return of Christ because the kings of the earth can see him in the air. So Satan was cast to the earth, and it's going to say, woe to the earth, because now Satan has come down to you. He's not just a prince of power there. He's walking among you, controlling things. But he was defeated and was no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great, I'm in verse 9, and the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who was called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And I heard a loud voice. This is not being thrown out of heaven like when they rebelled with Lucifer. This is being thrown out of their place of authority in the, the prince of the power of the air. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they love not their lives even unto death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell on them. Meaning Satan's gone, heaven's, the presence of God is now in the atmosphere. Rejoice, here we are. But, it says now, but woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath because he knows that his time is short. Now again, where are you going to place that? Did that happen in the Garden of Eden? Did that happen with the resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ? Or is that going to happen at that point where the Lord appears and they've got 42 months left and he's cast down and now he's got to figure out the Lord is manifested back in the atmosphere, back in reality, back in our temporal world, and he's got to pull some strings to keep this thing going. And when the dragon saw that he had been thrown down to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. Now again, that could be a reference to Israel, who's just been sealed and is left on the earth. He can't pursue the church, because the church, if you're pre-trib, mid-trib, pre-wrath, the church has been raptured. But he can pursue the nation of Israel, who has the promises and was responsible for giving birth to the male child. But again, they've been sealed. But the woman was given the two wings of a great eagle so that she might fly from the serpent into the wilderness to the place where she might be nourished for a time, times, and half a time. So if you want 3.5 years, 42 months, or 1,260 days, or you want time, 1 year, times, 2 years, and a half a time, you're back to 3.5 years. So it's like, how many ways can you say it? I'm just giving you information. The serpent poured water, now I don't understand this, the serpent poured water from like a river out of his mouth after the woman to sweep her away with the flood, but the earth came to the help of the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed the river that the dragon had poured from his mouth. Now, later on, we're going to talk about the waters, the woman who sits on the waters. That's going to refer, and it even says in the text, nations and peoples and all the cultures of the world. So waters, maybe that's a group of people he sends after again. Then the dragon became furious with the woman and went off to make war against the rest of her offspring on those who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. And he stood on the sand of the sea. So again, if we have the church gone, Israel's now got a believing remnant. There's going to be people, especially with the two witnesses, coming to Christ out of the world. They're not part of the church, because the church would be gone if you believe in the rapture of the church before this. And they're not going to become Israelites, because they may be from the nations, but they are going to be believers in Jesus Christ. They're going to be what we call tribulation saints. But nonetheless, he's making war. Satan now is making war against these new believers at this time, if that's the scenario. Chapter 13. And I saw a beast rising out of the sea. Oh, one thing I wanted to point out, again, I'm going to play a little game, not a game, but just to entertain you. This is going to come up in these verses a couple of times. one mind, because they had one mind. They all had the same mind. And it's like, what's that mean? Well, they all were in agreement. They all had the same theology. But if you take this and you bring this into AI right there, and all of a sudden, because you had the mark of the beast and everybody has the one mind, they all come together. We couldn't talk about this in the 70s. It would be hard to put this together in the 90s, but as you're looking at culture and you're looking at events right here, AI is coming, and it's going to somehow, you know, if everybody plugs into this, you could have world peace because everybody would be united. Yeah, or you're going to take all the information of mankind and its full sin nature and put it on super drive, and you're going to have sin nature in a way that you don't understand. So kind of, again, I'm not teaching that, but if it's yet to come, there's going to be some things that John is going to see. He's going to see an image of the beast. It's going to be like an idol, a little like statue that's going to be in the temple. The temple's going to be rebuilt. Someone's going to get the temple rebuilt, as we're going to see. But the image, it starts to talk. It comes alive and it starts giving commands. And it's like, well, like, you know, back in the 70s, you had a little statue, a little image, you know, a stone began to move and talk. Well, yeah, or you could have like a supercomputer with all the information on it, and you give it authority, and it tells you this is what to do. How do we save the planet from what's in the sky, the return of the Lord? We'd all see him. It's like, and the AI starts giving commands. Everyone's got to unite and receive this. And it's like, is this beast, this image, is it simply just a supercomputer plugged up with AI giving a command? Everyone else that is plugged in with the same AI on their own minds. Okay, you see what I'm saying? It's like, you don't go too far, but it's like, some of these things don't make sense until all of a sudden, oh, they make total sense. And again, we're not there yet, so it's not going to make total sense even as I'm stumbling through this today. Okay, I got to stop teaching and start reading. Okay. And okay, he was thrown down, and the dragon, he saw that his time had been thrown. Where am I at? Am I in verse 13? Okay, good. That's where I thought it was. And when the dragon saw that he had been thrown down to the earth, okay, see, he's down, he's on the earth, and in the New Testament, he was in the air. He pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. When the woman was given the two, oh, okay, and the earth followed him up, right? I read that already, right?
Chapter
13. Okay. Okay, chapter 13, verse 1. And I saw a beast rising out of the sea. Now, that we just left off with the dragon standing on the shore of the sea, or the sand of the sea. And I saw a beast rising out of the sea. And the sea most likely is the nations, okay, coming out of the nations, out of somewhere. And now it's got 10 horns and 7 heads. And again, that's going to be important. With 10 diadems on its horns and blasphemous names on its heads. And the beast that I saw was like a leopard. Its feet were like a bear's, and its mouth was like a lion's mouth. And to it the dragon gave his power and his throne and great authority. And so again, as you know from Daniel, that matches Babylon, Persia, Greece. It's like it's a continuation of those. And again, this is where you tie directly into Daniel and start building from there, but we're not going to do that. One of the heads seemed to have had a mortal wound, but its mortal wound was healed, and the whole earth marveled as they followed the beast. And they worshiped the dragon, meaning Satan, for he had given his authority to the beast. So now you've got like God the Father gave the authority to Jesus. Now you've got Satan giving his authority to this beast, this person that was dead, now has come back to life, or the throne, the kingdom was dead, now it's resurfaced. But the world is marveling at this. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who can fight against it? Now, this is military. The beast has to do with military, and their main concern is what's appeared in the atmosphere. And the beast was given a mouth uttering haughty and blasphemous words, and it was allowed to exercise authority for, how long is it going to exercise authority? 42 months. It opens its mouth to utter blasphemies against God, blaspheming his name and his dwelling, that is, those who dwell in heaven. Now, where's that at? Well, they can if you go with me, they can, that's what the kings are hiding from. They can see it, and they know that that's their problem. They're not talking about, you know, they're not a bunch of atheists talking about some far, far away place that you die and you go to heaven when you die. Their enemy all of a sudden is heaven, and they're hiding in caves because they can see the Lamb on his throne. Also, it was allowed to make war on the saints and to conquer them. And authority was given it over every tribe and people and language and nation, and all who dwell on the earth will worship it. Everyone whose name was not written before the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who was slain. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. So if you're paying attention, hear this. If anyone is to be taken captive, to captivity he goes. If anyone is to be slain with the sword must he be slain. Here is a call for endurance and faith of the saints. Meaning you're in the kingdom of God, but understand, if you're destined by God to face this or face that, just face up, that's where you're heading. You're heading to martyrdom. If you're going to captivity, you're going to go to captivity. But I don't want to go to captivity. You're a believer at this time in history. To captivity, you're going to go. If you're destined to the sword, you're going to go to the sword. Yeah, but is there something, how do I, like Paul prayed. I said three times, Lord, take this from me. But he says, no, he says, my grace is sufficient. I'm not going to take it from you. So if you're going to captivity, my grace is sufficient. To captivity, you're going to go. If you're going to go to the sword, my grace is sufficient, to the sword you're going to go. Yes, but what about what I just said? It's how it's going to end. Then I saw another beast rising out of the earth. See, one came out of the sea, one comes out of the earth. It had two horns like a lamb, so this sounds like religion, and it spoke like a dragon, like Satan. It exercises all the authority of the first beast in its presence and makes the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast whose mortal wound was healed. It performs great signs, even making fire come down from heaven to the earth in the front of people, and by the signs that it was allowed to work in the presence of the beast, it deceives those who dwell on the earth. Now those who are believers or the Jews that are marked, they're not deceived by it, but the world is like, whoa, who can stop this? Telling them to make an, and it tells them, it deceives those who dwell on the earth, telling them to make an image for the beast that was wounded by the sword and yet lived. And it was allowed to give breath to the image of the beast. See, now if you're 1970s, it's like, oh, it's a little statue. But now the breath, is that electricity? Is that AI? Is it both? Is it a spiritual coming to life of a piece of rock? So that the image of the beast might even speak and might cause those who would not worship the image of the beast to be slain. If you won't buy into this program, we're going to have to slay you. Also, it calls all, both small and great, both rich and poor, both free and slave, to be marked on the right hand or the forehead so that no one can buy or sell unless he has the mark that is the name of the beast or the number of its name. This calls for wisdom. Let the one who understands calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of man and his number is 666. I mean, that's been, hey, you know, we've been trying to explain it. I've been trying to unravel that, add it up, divide it, match it up with someone's birth certificate. It's like, well, what is this? This calls for wisdom. It's like, and I don't have it yet. So I can guess, I can talk about it, but it's like, I don't know what I'm talking about. Chapter 14. Then I looked, and behold, on Mount Zion stood the Lamb, and with him 144,000 who had his name on and his father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven like the roar of many waters and like the sound of loud thunder. The voice I heard was like the sound of harpists playing on their harps, and they were singing a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and before the elders. No one could learn the song except the 144,000 who had been redeemed from the earth. So if you put this in a scenario, that heaven is still open and still visible in that sense, but on the earth is 144,000, if we stay with this, they're Jews, and they're some kind of connection, and they are being taught the new song from heaven itself, and no one can sing it except the 144,000 who've been redeemed from the earth. It is these who have not defiled themselves with women, for they are virgins. Again, that can mean sexual. That means all these 144,000 are men, or that that, again, the sexuality can refer to adultery, or not adultery, but like idolatry or following foreign religion. I mean, that they've remained pure to God. Again, it says what it says, what does it mean? It is these who have followed the Lamb wherever he goes. These have been redeemed from mankind as first fruits for God and the Lamb, and in their mouth no lie was found, for they are blameless. Then I saw another angel flying directly overhead with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on the earth. So the gospel is being proclaimed to the people on the earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. Now, how's the gospel being presented here? Well, now the angels are presenting it. And he said with a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water." So again, this is again a warning before the judgment again. So it really seems like this is a future event right before the judgment of God comes. It's like last call. Another angel, a second, followed, saying, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. She who made all the nations drink the wine of the passion of her sexual immorality." Again, is it sexual immorality, or is Babylon leading the world into some form of idolatry away from the truth? And another angel, a third, followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If anyone worships the beast and its image and receives a mark on his forehead or on his hand, he also will drink the wine of God's wrath, poured full strength into the cup of his anger, and he will be tormented with fire and sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, these worshipers of the beast and its image, and whoever receives the mark of its name." Again, right there, when it talks about the mark of the beast, I bet it's a tattoo, a 666 tattoo. It could be, but that's a whole lot of judgment and permanence for getting a tattoo. You know, I mean, that seems to be more of a final selling of your soul to this beast, where there's no redemption. It's almost like a death. You've died. There's no coming back. Again, keep that in mind. I mean, maybe it can be something just as simple as like, don't get these tattoos, these marks of the beast, you know, don't do that, right? Or it could be something much more severe. And again, it's still in the mystery phase. "Here is a call for the endurance of the saints, those who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus, because the only way to survive in the earth this time is to get the mark of the beast and side with him, whatever that is, if it's, you know, being reprogrammed with the AI of the artificial intelligence, you know, and simply dying, losing your soul to this machine, or you're going to have to stay faithful to Jesus. And so it's like, you either got to get the mark of the machine, or you're going to go to captivity or be killed with a sword. You got one of two options: martyrdom or eternal damnation. Choose. It calls for faithful endurance. It's like, well, is there another option? No. As long as you live here, you're going to be persecuted. "And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write this, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on." In other words, if you do go, if you reject the mark and you do go to your death, from now on, you are blessed. It's like, yeah, but I got my head cut off. Well, look where you're at. You know, be enduring. "Blessed indeed," said the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them. "Then I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and seated on the white on the cloud, one like the Son of Man, with a golden crown on his head and a sharp sickle in his hand." Again, this has to be Jesus. He's got the crown. "And another angel came out of the temple, calling with a loud voice to him who was sat on the cloud, put in your sickle and reap, for the hour to reap has come, for the harvest of the earth is fully ripe. So he sat on the cloud, swung his sickle across the earth, and the cloud and the earth was reaped. Then another angel came out of the temple in heaven, and he too had a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, the angel who has authority over the fire, and he called with a loud voice to the one who had the sharp sickle, put in your sickle and gather the clusters from the vine of the earth, for its grapes are ripe. So the angel swung his sickle across the earth, gathered the grape harvest and the earth, and threw it into the great winepress of the wrath of God." So you notice there's two harvests. There's the harvest that goes with the Lord, and the other is the harvest that goes into the winepress of the wrath. and the winepress was trodden outside the city, and the blood flowed from the winepress as high as a horse's bridle for 1,600 stadii. Again, we could talk about that, but notice that blood is flowing not because of battle, although it could end up being a battle, but it's flowing because of being trodden down in the winepress of God's wrath, of God's judgment. Chapter 15, then I saw another sign in heaven, great and amazing, seven angels with seven plagues, which are the last, for with them, now watch this, for with them the wrath of God is finished. It seems to have started with the first trumpet after the sixth seal or the seventh seal, and then it seems to end right here. And I saw that what appeared to be a sea of glass mingled with fire, and also those who had conquered the beast and its image and the number of its name standing beside the sea of glass with harps of God in their hands, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, now these are those who have faced the beast and they've conquered the beast. If you would allow me to read a little bit of my theology into this, this is not the church, because the church is taken at the seventh seal or the sixth seal before the beast is bringing the torment. So they're delivered. The Jews are sealed and protected for until the coming of the Lord, until he meets them on Mount Zion or Mount Olives. Now, these are those who have come out, and so this would be, they've died, and they're singing a new song. And they sing the song of Moses. And so again, that just interesting that it's a different group. Tribulation saints, possibly. Again, don't let me read too much into this. If I don't say something, it starts just kind of meandering. You just got a bunch of images, but I can definitely be wrong. The song saying, great and amazing are your deeds, O Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the nations. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. After this, I looked, and the sanctuary of the tent of witness in heaven was opened. So again, imagine, it's not like this. Again, you can go far, far, far away. We can't see heaven. Or it's come into the atmosphere and it's there. And now it's open in the sanctuary, and out of the sanctuary came the seven angels with the seven plagues, clothed pure bright linen with gold sashes around their chest. And one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls full of the wrath of God who lives forever and ever. And the sanctuary was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no one could enter the sanctuary until the seven plagues of the seven angels were finished. Chapter 16, then I heard a loud voice from the temple telling the seven angels, go and pour out on the earth the seven bowls of the wrath of God. Again, I point out, the seals, there's never a statement, the wrath, the seals of the wrath of God. But the trumpets and the bowls are continually being says, the wrath of God are being connected. Now, that doesn't settle the argument, but it certainly has something to do with it. So the first angel went and poured out his bowl on the earth, and harmful and painful sores came upon the people who bore the mark of the beast and worshiped its image. I mean, if receiving the mark of the beast involves a COVID shot or something, that'd be a pretty simple plague to see. Anybody had that shot gets this plague. Okay, I added that in. Chapter 16, verse 3, the second angel poured out his bowl into the sea, and it became like the blood of a corpse, and every living thing died and was in the sea. So now the water, now you've lost water now. The third angel poured out his bowl into the rivers and the springs of water, and they became blood. And I heard the angel in charge of the water say, just are you, O Holy One, who is and was. Okay, what's taking place right here is they're shutting down the earth. The earth is being shut down. There's no water. It's not just, oh, look, that stream turned to blood. No, the seas turned to blood, like a dead man's blood. The fresh water, that turned to blood. Now you've got nothing to drink. And if you're going to drink something, you're going to be drinking something like blood. And it's like, this is hideous. This God is just shutting. You cannot, the earth is now, it can't survive much longer because God is shutting down the options for life. He's cutting off the life supply. And so the angel says, just are you, O Holy One, who is and who was, for you brought these judgments, for they have shed the blood of the saints and the prophets. Remember, to the sword, whoever's destined to the sword. They've been killing the saints, and now you're bringing judgment to them. And you have given them blood to drink. It is what they deserve. So it's like, well, how can God, is this just? The angel reinforces, this is the right thing to do. And I heard the altar saying, yes, even from the altar, yes, Lord God Almighty, true and just are your judgments. Just in case you're like, well, I don't know if I can worship a God like that. Well, the angel is saying, yeah, this is right. The altar saying, yeah, this is the right thing to do. He's just shutting down. They're just going to die in torment. It's like, well, that's not, doesn't sound like my God. Well, this is the right thing. If you're a just God, this is what you would do. Now, if you're saying, well, I don't know if this is just, well, then you don't understand justice. The fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and it was allowed to scorch people with fire. So now the light, the sun, is malfunctioning. They were scorched by the fierce heat, and they cursed the name of God who had power over these plagues. So you talk about global warming. This isn't global warming. This is global cooking. And it's like, how did that happen? It's because of the wrath. It's not because of a carbon footprint. It's because God says it's time, move the sun a little closer and start scorching, or however he decides to do it. They did not repent and give him glory. And the people didn't say, okay, we've had enough. We're sorry. We're sorry. They just kept cursing God as he's making them drink blood, cooking them with the sun. The fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and its kingdom was plunged into darkness. People gnawed their tongues in anguish and cursed the God of heaven for their pain and sores. They did not repent of their deeds. See, at any point through here, you can say, okay, I made a mistake. They're so committed to the program, or they're so reprogrammed, there's nothing in them to repent. They cannot function. They cannot imagine repenting. The sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up to prepare the way for the kings of the east. Now, there's still going to be battles taking place. And I saw coming out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet. There's your satanic trinity. The dragon would be Satan. The beast would be an individual coming up from the pit. And the false prophet is someone speaking for him. So it's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in a sense, in those three. And they send out three unclean spirits like frogs. For they are demonic spirits performing signs that go abroad to the kings of the whole world to assemble them for battle on the great day of God Almighty. Now, again, but the idea there is they're going to now assemble everybody. We've got a plan, a strategy. We're going to fight the being there in heaven. We're going to fight the one that we can see in heaven. We've organized our troops, got all of our weapons, and they're being manipulated by Satan. Now, verse 15, behold, I'm coming like a thief. Blessed are the one who stays awake, keeping his garments on, that he may not go about naked and be seen exposed. And they assembled them at the place that in Hebrew is called Armageddon. So you've got Hey Armageddon, or the Hill of Megiddo, which is a city right there in the Valley of Megiddo. I don't have a map of it, but you know where Armageddon's at. If that's the actual place, that's what it's talking about. They're there for battle against the Lord. The seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple from the throne saying, it is done. And there was flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals. Now remember, the sixth and seventh, it says the salvation of God has come. But he's still in heaven. This right here is now, it is done. He's now going to begin engaging in a battle. And there were flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder, and a great earthquake, such as there had never been since man was on the earth. So great was that earthquake. The great city was split into three parts. Now, what's the great city? Is it Jerusalem? Is it Rome? Is it New York? And the cities of the nation fell. And God remembered Babylon the Great, to make her drain the cup of the wine of the fury of his wrath. And every island fled away, and no mountains were to be found. And great hailstones, about 100 pounds each, fell from heaven on people, and they cursed God for the plague of the hail, because the plague was so severe. Chapter 17. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and said to me, come, I will show you the judgment of the great prostitute who is seated on many waters, probably nations, with whom the kings of the earth have committed sexual immorality, probably unfaithfulness to God and his reality. The dwellers on the earth have become drunk. And he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, that was full of blasphemous names, and it had seven heads and ten horns. Now we're going to find out more about these seven heads and ten horns that we've been talking about already. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and jewels and pearls, holding in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the impurities of her sexual immorality. And on her forehead was written a name of mystery, Babylon the Great, mother of prostitutes and of the earth's abominations. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints, the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. So in other words, this false religion has a main goal. It has to eliminate the true believers. It has to eliminate the followers of Jesus Christ. And she's drunk. She's done it. She's eliminated what she thinks is all the believers of Jesus Christ so they can continue with their own religion. When I saw her, I marveled greatly. But the angel said to me, why do you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast with the seven heads and ten horns that carries her. Now you think, oh good, we'll get some detailed information, now I'll understand it. The beast that you saw was and is not and is about to rise from the bottomless pit. Oh, what? And go to destruction. And the dwellers on the earth, whose names have not been written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, will marvel to see the beast because it was and is not and is to come. Now again, that's we were teaching this. You got to go back to this being said in 96 AD, or if you're preterist, it's being said in 64 AD or something. And it is, and it was not, but it's going to come back. So what is this? This calls for a mind with wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman is seated. They are also seven kings, five of whom have fallen. One is, and the other is not yet come. Now that would be fairly easy because the five would be Assyria, Babylon, Greece, and one that is Rome, and the other that is not yet come is going to be would be the feet of clay of Daniel's statue. That's a kingdom yet to come in 96 AD, which is future for John, which potentially we could be looking at the arising of that, you know, somewhere here among us. Again, Martin Luther thought he was seeing it arise too in the 1530s. Okay. They are seven kings, five of whom have fallen. One is, the other has not yet come. And when he does come, he must remain only a little while. I mean, he won't be here very long. Probably 42 months, 3.5 years, 1,260 days, or time, times, and half a times. As for the beast that was and is not, it is an eighth, but it belongs to the seven, and it goes to its destruction. Meaning it's just going to arise just in time just to go to its destruction. And the ten horns that you saw are ten kings who have not yet received royal power. So this appears to be ten kings that are going to be part of that seventh kingdom, and they're going to be ten nations, and they're not even on the scene yet in 96 AD. But they are to receive authority as kings for 1 hour, together with the beast. So when the beast arises and takes authority, then 10 kings will join around him to be his consul, to be his leaders, or something to that effect. These are the one, okay, here it is, verse 13. These are of one mind. Now, does that mean anything? And they hand over their power and authority to the beast. I mean, they have no longer have their own will. They just follow the beast. They will make war on the lamb. So their intention, the lamb that's seated in the throne, and the lamb will conquer them, for he is the Lord of lords and King of kings, and those with him are called and chosen and faithful. And the angel said to me, the waters that you saw where the prostitute is seated, the waters are peoples and multitudes and nations and languages. Well, that's nice to hear. Okay, now we got something. And the ten horns that you saw, they and the beast will hate the prostitute. Okay, so now you've got the beast, which is military, and the prostitute, who is the ideology or the religion, but the military is eventually going to turn on the religion. Now, Jesus is just in heaven watching this take place. I mean, this is not, they've already killed the Christians. The Jews are sealed, and now you've got the religion and the military joining together to make war on the lamb. But you know what? The military really doesn't like anything to do with this prostitute. I don't want this ideology. So, I mean, I'm reading the text and making statements. And the ten horns you saw, they are, and the beast will hate the prostitute, and they will make her desolate and naked and devour her flesh and burn her with fire. For God has put it into their hearts to carry out his purpose by being of one mind and handing over their royal power to the beast until the words of God are fulfilled. And the woman that you saw is the great city that has dominion over the kings of the earth. After this, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was made bright with his glory. And he called out with a mighty voice, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. She has become a dwelling place for demons." Now, if you want to think of a city that is like Gotham, and it's just dark, evil, and just full of demons. That's where we're talking about, a city that tried to rule the world, that was the financial capital of the world. You're going to have the military, you're going to have the religion, but then you've got this city of Babylon that's the financial economic center of the world. If it be New York, if it be Rome, if it be Jerusalem, if it be whatever, London, whatever it is, it's like it devolved to the place that it was nothing but a dwelling place for demonic activity. So you've got the military, you've got the religion or the ideology, and now you've got the economic system right here. "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. She has become a dwelling place for demons, a haunt for every unclean spirit, a haunt for every unclean bird, a haunt for every unclean and detestable beast. For all nations have drunk the wine of the passion of her sexual immorality. And the kings of the earth have committed immorality with her. And the merchants of the earth have grown rich from the power of her luxurious living. Then I heard another voice from heaven saying, 'Come out of her, my people, lest you take part in her sins, lest you share in her plagues. For her sins are heaped high as heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Pay her back as she herself has paid back others, and repay her double for her deeds. Mix a double portion for her in the cup she mixed. As she glorified herself and lived in luxury, so give her a like measure of torment and mourning, since in her heart she says, 'I sit as a queen, I am no widow, and mourning I shall never see. I shall never see.' For this reason, her plagues will come in a single day, death and mourning and famine, and she will be burned up with fire, for mighty is the Lord God who has judged her. And the kings of the earth who committed sexual immorality and lived in luxury with her will weep and wail over her when they see the smoke of her burning. They will stand far off in fear of her torment and say," so when the kings of the earth see the economic system collapse in a single day, "Alas, alas, you great city," they say, "you mighty city Babylon, for in a single hour your judgment has come. And the merchants of the earth weep and mourn for her, since no one buys their cargo anymore. Cargo of gold, silver, jewels, pearls, fine linen, purple cloth, scarlet, silk, scarlet cloth, all kinds of iPhones, all kinds of scented wood, and all kinds of articles of ivory, and all kinds of articles of costly wood, bronze, iron, marble, cinnamon, spice, incense, myrrh, frankincense, wine, oil, fine flour, wheat, cattle, and sheep, horses and chariots and slaves," that is human souls. "The fruit for which your soul longed has gone from you, and all your delicacies and your splendors are lost to you, never to be found again. The merchants of these wares who gained wealth from her will stand far off and in fear of her torment, weeping and mourning aloud. Alas, alas, for the great city that was clothed in fine linen, in purple and scarlet, adorned with gold, with jewels and with pearls, for in a single hour all this wealth has been laid waste." Now remember, before it fell, it was totally occupied with demonic forces. That was how it was described, you know, where all the haunt for all the demons and unclean animals. "And all the shipmasters and seafaring men, sailors, and all those who trade is on the sea stood far off and cried out as they saw the smoke of her burning, 'What city was like the great city?' And they threw dust on their heads as they wept, mourning, crying out, 'Alas, alas, for the great city where all who had ships at sea grew rich by her wealth, for in a single hour she has been laid waste. Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you saints and apostles and prophets, for God has given judgment for you against her.' Then a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, 'So will Babylon, the great city, be thrown down with violence and will be found no more. And the sound of harpists and musicians and flute players and trumpeters will be heard in you no more. And a craftsman of any craft will be found in you no more. And the sound of the mill will be heard in you no more. And the light of a lamp will shine in you no more. And the voice of the bridegroom and bride will be heard in you no more. For your merchants were the great ones of the earth, and all nations were deceived by your sorcery. And in her was found the blood of the prophets and of the saints and of all who have been slain on the earth. Chapter 19. After this, I heard what seemed to be the loud voice of a great multitude in heaven crying out. Now, this would be, it could be the angels in heaven, but this would be probably the saints that have gone into heaven. Again, that's appeared in the atmosphere, if we're staying with that story. Crying out, "Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God, for his judgments are true and just. For he has judged the great prostitute who corrupted the earth with her immorality and has avenged on her the blood of his servants." Once more they cried out, "Hallelujah! The smoke of her goes up forever and ever." And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God, who was seated on the throne, saying, "Amen, hallelujah." And from the throne came a voice saying, "Praise our God, all you his servants, you who fear him, small and great." Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters, and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, crying out, "Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exalt and give him glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It is granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints." And this is again interesting. This is where, again, the church, the saints, are now united with the Lord. There's going to have been some kind of the Bema seat of judgment would have taken place, and they've been rewarded because right here it says, "For the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints." Notice right there, nowhere are you encouraged to do righteous deeds to get into heaven. But when you do get to heaven, the fine linen represents the righteous deeds the saints did, which is basically the concept that you are saved by faith, you're saved by grace, but now during your sanctification period, as you're maturing and growing, you're growing in Christ, doing good deeds, serving God, being faithful. Those good deeds that you do after you've been saved is not earning you salvation, it's you maturing and growing, but you will be rewarded for those, because there are rewards in heaven, and salvation is not a reward. Salvation is a gift, but what are the rewards? They're the righteous deeds of the saints. You've got to be a saint to do the righteous deeds, so there will be a reward. And right here, the fine linen represents the righteous deeds of the saints. And the angel said to me, "Write this: blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb." And he said to me, "These are the true words of God." Then I felt, now watch, this is John. And the angel just said to him, "Write, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb." And he said to me, "These are the true words of God." Then I, John, fell down at his feet to worship him. That's just how overwhelming this is. You say, well, Galen doesn't seem like he really understands this. Well, John just fell down to worship an angel. I mean, that's how overwhelming this information is. So if I look like I'm not real sure of what I'm talking about, okay, John's taking dictation, but when the angel gets done, he just falls down to worship the angel. It's like, John, no, get up, John. I'm not at least not falling down to worship an angel this morning. Write this, and he said to me, "These are the true words of God." Then I fell down at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, "You must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." That's a great line right there. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Then I saw heaven open, and behold, and here it comes. Remember, heaven is there, and now it's opened up, and they're leaving. Then I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, and he has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, which be angels, maybe the saints, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure. Okay, arrayed in fine linen. Guess what the white linen represents? The righteous deeds of the saints. So who is this army? The armies of heaven include the angels, but this has to include the saints, because they're arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, which we were just told is the righteous deeds of the saints. We're following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and with a loud voice he called to all the birds that fly directly overhead. Meaning Jesus is leaving heaven with his armies to engage now the nations that have gathered together to make war against the Lamb. And as he's leaving, an angel goes off and starts calling the birds, we're going to need some help over here, because there's going to be a lot of dead bodies that are going to really start to stink and mess up the earth. So then I saw an angel, look at the details, the glory is in the details. And then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and with a loud voice he called to all the birds that fly directly overhead, come, gather for the great supper of God, to eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses and their riders, and the flesh of all men, both free and slave, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth with their armies gathered to make war against him who was sitting on the horse and against his army. And the beast was captured, and with it the false prophet who in its presence had done the signs by which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast and those who worshiped the image. This is interesting. These two were thrown alive into the lake of fire that burns with sulfur. Notice they do not die, and they're not thrown into Sheol or Hades. They're thrown directly into the lake of fire. Satan is not even going to go to the lake of fire except in another 1,000 years. Everyone else is going to wait 1,000 years, and then they're going to appear before the great white throne judgment, and then they'll be thrown in the lake of fire. Every human is given to men once to die and then face the judgment. These two people right here, the beast and the two were thrown alive into the lake of fire. They did not die, and they were not judged. They did not, I mean, they're judged, but they did not stand before the throne. They're just captured, thrown alive. They're just thrown away like waste in the lake of fire. I mean, it messes up they're not human. They're clearly not human. Or God completely override all justice as far as this is how I treat humans. He treats them like unhuman. These two were thrown alive into the lake of fire that burns with sulfur, and the rest were slain by the sword that came from the mouth of him who was sitting on the horse, and all the birds were gorged with their flesh. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, holding in his hand the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain. And he seized the dragon, Satan, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, and he bound him for 1,000 years. Now he'd be thrown into the abyss, most likely, like by Tartarus, and is put in chains, just like the angels who rebelled in Noah's day were kept in chains in utter darkness. So demons are sent to the abyss. The angels are kept in locked up chains in Tartarus or in the abyss. Satan now joins them who are kept in chains, and he's going to be kept in chains now for 1,000 years. God's not done with him yet. It's like, get rid of this guy. No. We'll get rid of the beast and the false prophet, but Satan, I'm going to use him one more time. It's like, what? You see, if I was God, I'd be rewriting this book. I'd be making some adjustments here. And he sees the dragon and that ancient serpent who was the devil called Satan and bound him for 1,000 years and threw him into the pit, I would say the abyss, and shut it and seal it over him so that he might not deceive the nations any longer until the 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be released for a little while. I mean, I say why, the same reason I say why was he in the Garden of Eden? It's like, it's the same question. Why is he in the Garden of Eden? Yeah, and why is he released after the millennium? Then I saw thrones, and seated on them were those to whom the authority to judge was committed. Also I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for the testimony of Jesus and for the word of God, and those who had not worshipped the beast. So these are people coming right out of that 42 months, or its image, and had not received its mark on their foreheads. So this is not all people that were martyred, because they have to go through these, they have to be here, they have to face the mark, they have to face the beast, and they have to be beheaded. They came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. The rest of the dead did not, now the rest of the dead, that refers to the unbelievers that have just died and been gone into the underworld, that were killed, their bodies were eaten by the birds and thrown into the underworld, their souls. The rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were ended. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is anyone who shares in the first resurrection. That's like the rapture. That's like coming to life at the end of this time period. But those that are thrown into the underworld that are going to come back to life later, they're going to come back for the great white throne judgment. We'll read that here in just a minute. Over such, the second death has no power. Those who have the first resurrection. But they will be priests of God and of Christ, and they will reign with him for 1,000 years. And when, this is chapter 20, verse 7, and when 1,000 years were ended, Satan will be released from his prison and will come out to deceive the nations that are at the four corners of the earth, because for 1,000 years, nations are functioning and arising. Jesus is Lord. He's like king of the earth. In that, I mean, there is no kings. We have no king. Well, in those days, you will have a king, King Jesus, and he will rule and reign with an iron scepter, and you're going to hit enormous prosperity. But at the end of that 1,000 years, many people have been born. They're going to have to face Satan themselves. He'll come out to deceive the nations that are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them for battle. Their numbers like the sand of the sea. That's amazing. And they marched up over the broad plain of the earth and surrounded the camp. So these are people born during the millennium that when Satan comes out, he says, I want you to see the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. And they eat from it, and as many as the sea, sands of the sea, join him to march on Jesus and the holy city at the end of 1,000 years. And they're holding signs, we have no king, we have no king, and stuff like this. And they marched up over the broad plain of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. But fire came down from heaven and consumed them. I mean, there's no battle. It's like, and they're gone. And the devil, and that's exactly what John and James wanted to do with Samaria. Should we call fire out of heaven, just consume them? It's like, no. We're going to save that for later. And the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire. Now he's thrown in the lake of fire and sulfur where the beast and the false prophet were. And they'd been there for 1,000 years. And they were tormented day and night forever and ever. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. From his presence, earth and sky fled away and no place was found for them. So now the earth is gone. And I saw the dead and great, small, standing before the throne and books were opened. This is the great white throne. You will not be here for this. This is the great. This is all the dead, the unbelievers, all the people. It's given unto men once to die and then face the judgment. They've died. They've been waiting from all time. They now appear before the throne of God. And then books were opened. These are the books of their works, everything they have done. And they're evaluated and rewarded based on what they had done. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. So you've got all the things they did. Oh, nice. And then the book of life, which is the Lamb's Book of Life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books, plural, according to what they had done. So they're given rewards and things. And the sea gave up the dead and those who were that in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead and those that were in it. And they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. Now Hades, Sheol, is thrown into the lake of fire along with death. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. And that's everyone that is there. They open the books. Okay, here, evaluate the life. Very good. Let's see if your name's in the book of life. Nope. And you all go. So the whole, now everything's in the lake of fire. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city. So this is a new creation. We don't go to heaven. God creates a new universe, apparently, a new heaven, a new earth to live on with man. New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death will be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain, or any former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I'm making all things new. Also he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give them the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for the murderers, the sexually immoral, the sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. Then came one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues and spoke to me, saying, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God and having the glory of God, its radiance like the most rare jewel, like jasper, like clear crystal. It had a great high wall and 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and on the gates the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel were inscribed. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And the one who spoke with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city and its gates. The city lies 4 square, its length the same as its width. And he measured the city with the rod of 12,000 stadii. Its length and its width and its height are equal. It's like a cube. And he also measured its walls 144 cubits by human measurements, which is also an angel's measurement. The wall was built of jasper, while the city was of pure gold like clear glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with every kind of jewel. The first was jasper, the second sapphire, the third agate, the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, the sixth carnelian, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysophase, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls, each of the gates made of a single pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb. And the city has no need of the sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. And the gates will never be shut day or night. Notice right there, there's business being taken place. There's commerce. And there will be no night there. They will bring into it the glory and honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more. They will need no light of the lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. And as he said to me, "These words are trustworthy and true. And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, has sent his angel to show his servants what must soon take place. And behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and saw them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed them to me. But he said to me, 'You must not do that. I'm a fellow servant with you and your brothers, the prophets, and with those who keep the words of this book. Worship God.' And he said to me, 'Do not seal up the words of this prophecy of this book, for the time is near. Let the evildoer still do evil, and the filthy still be filthy, and the righteous still do right, and the holy still be holy. Behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay each one for what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and that they may enter the city by its gates. Outside are the dogs, the sorcerers, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things. For the churches, I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright and morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, "Come." And let the one who hears say, "Come." And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book, of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. He who testifies to these things says, "Surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. Amen." All right, I will pray, and if you got any questions, feel free. Father, do thank you for the chance to hear these words. We thank you for having them preserved for us. We do ask that by the power of your Spirit and the testimony of your Scripture, we may gain insight and understanding to live these things, to demonstrate our own righteousness that is gained through faith in Jesus Christ, that we may continue to grow and produce righteous things in our own lives. We look forward to return, and we, along with all the words of this book, we say, come, Lord Jesus. And in his name we pray. Amen. Thank you for your time.